Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently before Thee, and we come into Thy holy presence in the name of our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator, the One who is our wisdom and our righteousness, our Prophet, our Priest, and our King. We draw nigh to Thee and cry unto Thee that as we gather here for this special service tonight, that Thou will be pleased to come amongst us, that Thou will breathe upon us by Thy Spirit, grant us much of Thy presence, and enable us to do that which will be glorifying in Thy sight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to read just three verses found in the Book of Psalms, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3, verses which I feel are appropriate for this meeting this evening. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And may the Lord bless that short reading of his word to all our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.
We're going to have our opening praise turning to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise foretell, come ye before him and rejoice. So let's lift up our hearts in praise to God. We're thankful tonight to be celebrating 50 years of the work of Let the Bible Speak. We give praise to God, and let's sing with all our hearts. Psalm 100, standing as we sing.
Say
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us seek the Lord. Our eternal God, we come tonight with praise upon our lip, but more importantly, praise in our heart for all that thou dost mean to us. We thank thee for every child of God gathered in this house tonight. We lift up our hearts in thankfulness for mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. We praise thee for the gift of the Lord Jesus, his coming into the world, his life, his words, his work, and especially his redeeming work upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank you that we are the recipients of that gospel of Jesus Christ, of pardon, forgiveness, cleansing through his precious blood. We gather, Lord, this evening in grateful thanks for all that thou dost mean to us. Especially tonight, we come recognizing thy blessing upon your cause, your work, as it is represented in Let the Bible Speak. We thank thee, O God, for the privilege of 50 years of broadcasting the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for putting it in the heart of those early pioneers of this work to have this venture and to step out in faith. We thank thee, O God, for the labors and the work of thy servant, the Reverend Cairns, especially. We thank thee, O God, for his life and his testimony. We rejoice in the work and the labor that he gave. We thank thee, O God, for the words that he spoke. We thank thee for the way in which he lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, for the work that he did through this ministry and how you blessed it and owned it for thyself. We rejoice, O God, tonight that through the passage of those years that have gone by, the gospel message is still being heralded. Still, to this very evening, we're able to lift up our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast enabled the ministry to go on, to increase, to be enlarged, to be strengthened and greatly helped. Lord, we lift up our voice in praise to thee for all that thou hast done. We come, Lord, tonight once again to speak of this work. And Lord, we pray that the challenge of it may be brought afresh to our heart, that we might give ourselves more fully to this cause. We thank thee for the labors that you've given in the work of the gospel ministry. And we pray that you'll help us to be faithful in that work. We pray, O God, that you'll remember the committee of LTBS. We especially remember thy servant, the Reverend Curran. We thank you for his years of service, his leadership. We thank thee, O Lord, for how you've blessed and owned the work. And we pray that you'll be with him, bless him, as he will tonight lead the service. We pray for each one that will take part, those that will speak. Especially we pray for thy servant that will bring the word to our heart. May he know the power of God. May he know help. May he know that thou art with him. And as he preaches, we pray that thou wilt endue him with power from on high. Remember too the choir as they sing, all that's said, all that's done. We pray that Christ our Savior will be uplifted. And Lord, we commit this work even now afresh to thee. We pray that you'll remember every part of it, the radio broadcasts that go out in the various parts of the world. We pray, O God, that you'll remember each one. And as the word of God is heralded, Christ is preached, it's our prayer that many precious souls will be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the television ministry. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless this witness, especially in our United Kingdom. We think, Lord, of the darkness of her day. And we pray that as gospel light shines through this witness, it will be used of thee. Remember all associated with that work, the congregations that will gather to listen to the word, those that give assistance by way of the technical help that's needed. Bless each one. Encourage each one in your great cause and great work. And we pray that as we look back across 50 years, we might also look to the future and look to thee for thy hand of blessing upon this work. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue with us this evening. Watch over our gathering. Bless all that's done. And may the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. In his name we ask these things. Amen.
May I at this point in our service extend a very warm and sincere word of welcome to all who have come to join with us. We welcome you warmly in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. That's a welcome to those who are here in the church building and to those who are joining us online. May I take just a moment to express a word of thanks to the minister and the office bearers of the congregation here in Hebron for granting us the use of the church building tonight for this special anniversary service and all of the facilities. We're deeply indebted to them and we do thank them sincerely for that. When I'm expressing thanks, I also want to express thanks to the ladies of the congregation here because they have provided supper for us when this service is over, and I want to thank them for their thoughtfulness and indeed for their kindness. It's most fitting to mark this historic milestone of half a century of gospel witness in the ongoing work of Let the Bible Speak, and to recall with deep gratitude and give thanks to the Lord for his great faithfulness, for his unfailing provision, and indeed for his abundant grace over these 50 years. It's true that the Lord chooses his instruments and he uses them to further and indeed fulfill his purpose. And that's been true as far as the Let the Bible Speak ministry is concerned. Let's not forget that it was on this very site, not in this actual building that we're in at the moment, but in the previous building that was on this site, it's on this very site, that the first radio programs of Let the Bible Speak were recorded. Dr. Kearns preached the word, and the Reverend James McClelland, with his technical knowledge and his recording expertise and skills, produced the programs and sent them off to Manx Radio, which was the first station that aired the Let the Bible Speak broadcasts. Dr. Kearns often said to me, if it hadn't been Brother McClelland, then Let the Bible Speak wouldn't really have come into existence at all. But speaking of Dr. Kearns for a moment, he was undoubtedly a very gifted preacher. He was a great theologian, and he was a prolific author. And I mention those things because Let the Bible Speak has benefited greatly in all of those areas. If we think for a moment of the preaching, it was he who did the preaching on those early broadcasts, and he was turning out 4 programs per week, 2 30-minute programs, along with 2 15-minute programs. And then you will probably know of the Dictionary of Theological Terms that he published, and Let the Bible Speak in this anniversary year is going to republish that book. Dr. Kearns, before his home call, was revising it and enlarging it, and we're getting it into the right format and proofreading, and then later on in the year there will be a publication date that will be announced, and we thought that that was very fitting and appropriate to do that in this 50th anniversary year of Let the Bible Speak. And then we mentioned just a moment ago that he was a prolific author and writer. I'm not going to take the time to mention all of the publications that came from his pen, but LTBS benefited greatly from those. We sent many of those publications to listeners far and near. I speak of one. It began as Christ is the Answer, and then he revised and enlarged that, and it became A New Beginning, and we have been using that now for so many years, and it's been so useful and so helpful and has proved a great blessing to so many people. Speaking about publications, Dr. Kearns used to say to me, I wonder why it is that the Free Church is not producing more written material. Well, that's a debate and a discussion for another time, and it's not for the meeting tonight. But close by Dr. Kearns' side was his good wife, Mrs. Kearns, and she's with us in the meeting tonight, and we're delighted that she's here. We're glad that she's been able to come. And we want now to make just a small presentation to her as merely a token, as an acknowledgement of all the help that she gave in those early formative years of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. And Mr. Jonathan McCauley, one of our committee members, is going to make the presentation, and he's going to come, Mrs. Kearns, right to where you're sitting. So you can just remain seated until he gets your length. Thank you, Jonathan. I'd also like to thank all, and I cannot mention all of the names, it would take just too long. I want to thank all who have helped in the ministry and those who are continuing to help in the various areas of the work, in administration, in accounts, in correspondence, those who are assisting in our shops, and those who are helping to produce the quarterly magazine. And I cannot forget all of the volunteers who assist us with the television programs in Lurgan. We're so grateful to them for coming, giving of their time, joining the camera crews and the audio and video work that's so necessary and vital. And we do have a great team of workers, and we're thankful to the Lord for just how consistent they are and how well they keep coming and doing the work that's necessary so that we can keep those television programs going out each week. I'd also like to thank our Lurgan congregation for making available their complex so that we're able to do the recordings there for the programs. That's been a great help and a great blessing to us. And all of this is done with a view to fulfilling the great commission that the Lord Jesus gave to his church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. I want also to thank our committee for the sterling work that they do and for their ongoing help in Let the Bible Speak. And Let the Bible Speak is going to continue, the Lord willing, to be a part of the missionary outreach of our church under our presbytery. That's really all I have to say by way of welcome and remarks. I'm going to have you view now a very short video presentation. And this video presentation is really highlighting the important, I'll call them date marks, on the timeline over our 50 years of ministry. And then when that video has finished, I would ask the Hebron Choir to come and sing the two pieces to us, please. Just as soon as the video is over, do make your way up and sing the pieces, please.
From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak.
And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name. It's good to have you join us for another Let the Bible Speak gospel broadcast. We'll be right back.
May I take a moment just to thank the choir for those most appropriate pieces. I want to thank you sincerely for all of the preparation time. I'm sure there was a bit of preparation time, as well as taking time to come here tonight to sing. And we deeply appreciate that, and I thank you in the Lord's great name. May the Lord bless the words that have been sung to all of our hearts. I also want to express a word of thanks to our brother Alistair for compiling the video. I thought it was well put together, and we appreciate all the work and the effort that he put into that. Our treasurer, the Reverend Andrew Patterson, is going to come now and bring just a brief report.
I believe as a committee we can identify very much with what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't often get the opportunity to personally and certainly publicly to thank all who support the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. But you know, men and women, over the years that I've been involved with it, it has never ceased to amaze me of how God touches the hearts of so many people to support the work both prayerfully and financially. And on behalf of the entire committee, I simply say thank you in the Lord's great name to one and all, to everyone who sends in their gifts. And those gifts come to us by various ways and means, by the check through the post, by the donate button on our website, and by bank, direct bank details and transfers are just some of the ways. My thanks also must extend to the churches who have sacrificially remembered the radio ministry of our denomination year on year. And you'll not be surprised to learn that we receive gifts also from outside the province and from many people in various countries. And whether it's the widow's mite, whether it's a greater sum, every gift is very much appreciated. I want to just home in on one aspect of Let the Bible Speak ministry. You will be aware that we've been airing programs in the land of Nepal for many years now. Up until last year, we were on 20 different radio stations. That has now decreased to 16 stations that still broadcast our programs, and from which we received from the listeners during last year over 1,100 responses. 1,100 letters come in desiring to know more of the gospel. We know, of course, of 10 families that have been converted to Christ out of Buddhist and Hindu backgrounds, and small fellowships have started in many of those areas. The number of stations is now 4 less, because just about 2 years ago we launched a particular appeal to see a new radio station in Nepal under the auspices of the Nepal Free Presbyterian Presbytery, and that has come to fruition. I was there in 2019. I heard the Reverend Thapa and his heart's desire to have a Christian radio station in the Kathmandu Valley. The committee of the LTBS took the decision to appeal to our people to raise the capital for the equipment that was needed, and that equipment would come to the total of approximately £30,000. That amount was very generously surpassed, with a total of £35,000 coming in. And in November last year, both myself and the secretary had the privilege of representing LTBS and to officially open that new radio station, Word FM. It operates today with a full license in place. It is airing our programs from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the morning, and also from 5 to 8 o'clock in the evening. It's situated about 45 minutes outside the Kathmandu Valley, with a 75-foot antenna and a 100-watt kilowatt signal is currently extending over that part of the valley where those initial four other stations were situated, as well as close to the Chinese border, which is about 65 or 75 miles away. It's operated by three employees. There's a station manager, there's a technician, and there's also an ID and reporting man as well. The station is very impressive, not only because it is situated under the shadow of the Himalayas, but also in how well it is finished with the necessary equipment. And it has only been possible because of the generous giving of our churches and of our individual donors. Reverend Thapa has reported in recent days that the phone calls and the emails already have been received from the listeners, and there are many who are wanting to know more of the gospel. And he's thankful to God. I was in contact with him today. He's thankful to God that he was in position in 2006, and he's been working alongside Let the Bible Speak ever since. And he's thankful to the people back here for their support prayerfully and financially. We ask you to continue to pray for this new station, that many, many more people will hear the Lord speak to them, even to the salvation of their souls through these programs. And we humbly ask you that you'll also help us to meet the annual running costs of this new radio station. On top of 27,000 that already is sent to Nepal every year for the other stations and for the evangelists, we believe it'll take 18,000 per annum to keep the station running. That includes the wages of the three men, which amounts to about £750 a month. It also includes the rental costs of the station. It also includes the electric, the water, the internet. It includes the government license. It includes the insurance and the maintenance costs. And I can happily report tonight that we have already received a very generous gift from an individual in one of our churches that amounted to £10,000, which is tremendous. And as I look over this congregation tonight, I'm getting very hopeful that the target will be reached before I reach Market Hill tonight, because there's a good crowd here. But we sincerely leave that with you, pray over it, and we trust that you'll join with us in seeing the running costs met from year to year. I want to thank you in anticipation of the offering tonight and as well as going forward. We have an expanding ministry. I've only touched on Nepal. Our radio programs are going out in Africa. They're going into India, in the city of London, at 1 a.m. every morning, Monday to Friday. And our minister there can testify of people having heard the messages and coming into his church as a result of them, of the stations in the Republic of Ireland. And we also have the television programs going out every week, the publication ministry. And the Lord, through his people, has always, always provided the need. We have never been in the red. We don't intend going there. And we give all the praise to the Lord. Before I sit down, I do want to take an opportunity personally, especially when I'm in Ballymoney, to thank our sister Rosemary Wallace for all the help that she is to me in keeping the books, collating the figures. And she does a very good job, especially in keeping me right. I want also finally to speak on behalf of the committee when I say, as a committee, we are indebted to our chairman. And we thank the Lord for the Reverend Curran, who has worked tirelessly as program director and chairman of our board. He has never lost that vision to reach souls with the gospel, desiring new ways in which we can let the Bible speak. And you know, of course, behind every good man is a good woman. And to Mrs. Curran, she has sacrificed much time being with her husband over these many years. And we say to her, thank you in the Lord's name. In the words of the Apostle, Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And as was done so with Mrs. Kearns, So one of the committee will present Mrs. Curran with a small token of our appreciation. And Mrs. Curran is situated on this side, and Mrs. Curran is over in this side. So one of the committee, please, will come and present that to Mrs. Curran. We do thank you for your attention, and we do pray that you'll pray on with us, and we'll see the work of God and let the Bible speak go further. Thank you.
Mr. Patterson, for bringing that report to you. We're going to now sing another hymn while the offering is taken up. And the offering tonight is going towards the fund that we need to meet all of the running costs of that station in Nepal. It's hymn 555. This was a favorite hymn of Dr. Kearns. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away, keeping your seats, and the offering will be taken up.
Thank you.
Sardiff Presbytery, the Reverend John Greer. We welcome our brother warmly to the meeting. We've been looking forward to the message that he'll bring to us from the Lord. He's not any stranger himself to recording for radio or even for television. He did much of that when he was in the United States, and then when he came back home, he's certainly been involved, and his messages go out on a weekly basis on our Let the Bible Speak program. So I welcome you, brother, and I'm going to ask you to come now and bring the Lord's word.
Well, I want to thank Reverend Curran and also the Let the Bible Speak committee for the invitation to bring God's word on this occasion. Very historic, a very important occasion as we celebrate this 50th anniversary of this ministry of Let the Bible Speak. I remember very well the launch of this ministry in 1973 and all the excitement that arose as the concept of radio ministry was generated among the Lord's people at that time. And then, as Mr. Curran has indicated, when I went to the United States 10 years later in 1983, and I began my ministry there at that particular time, I was privileged to engage in radio preaching under the banner of LTBS. And from that point onwards, in 83, right through until I returned to Northern Ireland in the year 2000, during those 17 years, I was able to be on the radio in the Philadelphia area and even farther afield. And I must say tonight that I can bear testimony to the fact that LTBS was a tremendous tool under God in seeing the church in that area and in many other places across the United States and Canada coming into existence and being built up and prospering under the going forth of the Word of God over the airwaves. And so I stand before you tonight to bring just that word of personal testimony as to how Let the Bible Speak has been a great benefit in my own ministry in those years. Even here in Northern Ireland, we were on for some time. Do pray that we'll get back on again somehow or other. We'd love that to happen and to see radio ministry not only across the border in the south, but here once again in Northern Ireland. And so there's much to pray about as we think about these matters. I want you to open your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse number 18. Just that one verse, not long after the time when the Reverend Curran informed me that the committee of Let the Bible Speak had requested that I would preach here tonight, my mind was turned to this verse, and these words have remained upon my heart ever since. And I am certain that they form the text and the basis for what I want to say to you this evening. Proverbs 29, verse number 18. And it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The vital word in that verse is the word vision. It's a word that must be understood clearly in order to grasp what is in view in this text. And may I say immediately and underline immediately that the word vision is a reference to God's special saving revelation that he has graciously given to the deliverance of men from their sins. Now, very often, I am aware of this, but very often the word vision in this text is interpreted in a subjective way with regard to the burden that believers have upon their hearts for the lost. And so it is true. The Word of God teaches that. The Word of God underlines that we must have a vision for souls. We must have that longing and that yearning to see the ungodly reached. But in this verse, the word vision has an objective, not a subjective, but an objective and special meaning. It refers to, as I've already indicated, the revelation that God has given, his own precious word, by which men are saved and through which they will not perish as they come to hear it. And God in his mercy sees fit to apply that word to their hearts and to their souls. This understanding of the word in this verse is proved from a twofold usage of the word in the Old Testament scriptures. Just want to mention that at this particular point before I get into the heart of this message tonight. In the Old Testament, the word for vision points to the message of truth. The word vision is from a root verb that means to see in a vision, in the sense of saving truth that God has revealed. And I will not stay with that very long at all, but just let me remind you that there are different books of the Old Testament that begin with this word vision, the word that's actually used here. For example, Isaiah 1 and verse number 1, where we read the vision of Isaiah that he saw. And the reference there is to the entire contents of the book of Isaiah. And therefore, what happened was the prophet was given a revelation by God, a vision by God, of all that then he wrote down. And we have it in the book of Isaiah. Or we could go to other books. I'll just mention one other. That is the book of Nahum. And it's a very interesting little statement that you have at the start of that book. It says, the book of the vision of Nahum. And again, it's the same word as we find here. That word that means to see as in a vision. And so the book of the vision of Nahum, the word book there means writing. And so it could be read that way, the writing of the vision of Nahum. In other words, what Nahum saw in a vision was then put in writing, and it was delivered for whom it was intended in those days. And of course, right down through to our own day, we have that little book as one of the minor prophets. And so the man of God saw the message of the Lord, and then he delivered it to the people, and he also put it into writing. And so these few instances of the use of this word make it absolutely clear that the Hebrew word for vision that we have in our text tonight points to the message of truth. The whole of the Bible is that message of truth. The whole of the Bible is God's vision or revelation that he has given unto men, whereby they receive the truth as a result of which they are saved from their sins. Then in the second place, by way of introduction, this Hebrew word for vision not only signifies the message of truth, but it also signifies the ministry of that truth. And we see this coming out in many ways as well in the Word of God. The word vision, therefore, has reference to the delivery of what God has given. He has given the message of truth. And then there follows on from that the ministry of that truth, the proclamation of it, the declaration of it, the going forth of that word delivered by the prophet. There's an interesting verse I want just to read to you. 1 Samuel 9, verse 9, and it says there, Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spoke, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. And the word seer, S-E-E-R, is also derived from the same root verb as this word vision. And so the seer was given a vision of the mind of the Lord. And then as the prophet, he went under the hand of God and directed by God to deliver, to tell forth what had been revealed to him. And so what was he? He was a man who saw the truth in the vision that God gave him, and then he was a man who ministered that truth. He received the message of truth, and then he ministered that truth in his day and time, illustrating for us tonight that very fact that I've mentioned to you, that there's this twofold usage of this word vision that we're looking at tonight here in a very particular way in Proverbs 29:18. It refers to the message of truth and to the ministry of truth. Now, in that light, since the basic reference in our text is to the message and the ministry of truth, this is a verse that is very relevant in this anniversary service as we celebrate these 50 years of radio witness that has been, as its title signifies, letting the Bible speak. In other words, LTBS was founded on the principle of taking the message of truth that God has revealed to men and carrying out the ministry of truth in a fallen world. And we've heard tonight how that ministry is continuing across nations, across continents. And we rejoice in that. I'm sure your heart was thrilled as you saw that video, as you heard the report from Reverend Patterson about various places, various fields of service where the work of the Lord is going on wonderfully and powerfully through LTBS, whether over radio or by TV ministry. And tonight I want just to present a few facts from this verse. Based on this principle, taking the message of truth that God has given unto us to carry out the ministry of truth in a fallen world. Now, let's come to the verse here, Proverbs 29:18, with what I have said by way of introduction. And let's note a few things from this verse. I must begin here because this is what the verse really brings before us. There is the absence of the ministry and message of truth mentioned in this verse. A sad and calamitous situation underlined by the opening words, where there is no vision. And there you have what I call the absence of the ministry and or the message and the ministry of truth. And as we think about the verse and look at that statement, that negative statement, where there is no vision, we can start then to look through the Old Testament and discover that there are reasons for the fact that is brought before us that sometimes there is the absence of the message and the ministry of truth. There are reasons for that. And let me show you some of them as we think about what this verse says, where there is no vision. This absence is due very, very often to spiritual decline. Spiritual decline. Such a time existed, for example, when Samuel was born. And if you will, please go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and look at verse number 1. This is a very important verse, and I want you to notice this verse and see what's in it and even some surrounding details in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and the verse number 1. And notice what we find being said in this verse. And it's about Samuel as a child. And it says this, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now there's the very same word, this word vision. Actually, 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 makes it absolutely clear that the vision mentioned in our text, Proverbs 29:18, is to do with the objective truth of God. And here we find there was a day when there was no open vision. The word open literally means to burst forth. And it signifies the matter of the public preaching of the Word of God. But this was not taking place at the time when Samuel was born, when he was a young lad. Having been brought to the tabernacle, to the house of God, we're actually told here that in Israel in those days, there was no open vision, there was spiritual decline. And for that reason, this is why the verse goes on to say, or says in the midst of it actually, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word precious actually means rare or scarce. And so in the days when Samuel was born, right within the nation of Israel, because that was the only nation that had the written word at that particular time. But in the nation of Israel, there was a scarcity of the preaching of the word, the proclamation of truth. There was an absence of the message of truth and the ministry of truth. It is telling us, this verse, that there was no settled ministry to which the people could have access to find the mind of God. The prophetic word was not available. It was a rare commodity. That is what the Holy Spirit is telling us here. And the reason for all of that was because of the spiritual decline in Israel. And you think of the man called Eli, who's mentioned here in this verse. Eli was a priest. He was from the priestly family and so forth. It was actually the priest of Israel who was to be the teacher and the preacher. You see, the prophet was only raised up when things began to decline, and that's what's going on here. Why was Samuel raised up by God? Because there was decline in the house of Eli. And you trace the story of Eli in the opening chapters, and you will find that Eli himself, though he was undoubtedly a believer, there was spiritual decline in his own life, and then it transferred on down to his sons. His sons were wicked men. They were ungodly men. As you read their story, it's a lamentable story. And the decline that was in their father's heart and life was even more so in their lives in terms of their own rejection of truth. You'll read in chapter 2 of how they handled the sacrifices of God. They treated them with contempt. In other words, they treated that which pointed to the cross and to the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus with absolutely nothing but contempt and disdain. And along with that, their lives were besmirched with immorality and open wickedness. And this was the state of spiritual life in Israel. And therefore, it is not surprising to find what we find here in chapter 3, verse number 1, that the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The vision was not bursting forth. The preaching of the word was not taking place. There was an absence of it because of the spiritual decline. God was provoked, actually, to withdraw His presence, to withdraw His Spirit, to remove the candlestick of light and truth to a great degree. This is what was happening. There was spiritual decline. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14 and the verse number 14, and here we find another aspect of this matter as to why there are times when there's no open vision. And we come now to notice not only spiritual decline, but spiritual deceit. Jeremiah 14 and the verse number 14. And these are solemn, striking words that we find in this verse. Remember the days of Jeremiah, what they were. They were the days that led up to the captivity, to the carrying away of Judah and the people of Jerusalem into Babylon, where they remained for 70 years. And we need to ask the question, why did this all happen? What was going on in Judah and in Israel in general in those times? Well, we get a glimpse of it here in chapter 14 of Jeremiah, verse 14. It says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you." Now read it, note it. "A false vision and divination." And there's the same word, this word vision. Exactly the same word. And these are the prophets of God. But they are marked by spiritual deceit because they're going forth in the name of God. They're going to the people of Judah and Israel in general, and they are pretending to bring a message from God. But we're finding here it is a message that is characterized by deceit and by lying. And for that reason, while there was a group of men who were speaking or preaching, whatever you care to call it, there was nothing of the message of truth being proclaimed. Rather, it was one of lies. It was a false vision. It goes on to say at the end of verse 14, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. You read the word deceit there. And what exactly was the heart of this deceit? Just look at the previous verse, verse 13. Here's what they were saying. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, it is unto the people, God's people, at least in name, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. There are two things that those prophets were doing. They were denying the coming of judgment. When God had said clearly that the judgment was coming, they denied that. And then they were telling the people all was well. They were deceiving the people, telling them there's no need to worry. There's no need to be concerned. Jeremiah's wrong. Don't listen to that man. Don't regard his preaching. We're here to tell you that there won't be any judgment. That this talk about the captivity will never come to pass. Rather, you're going to have peace. Does that sound familiar? Is it not true, my friend, across the world, that only is there spiritual decline, and to a great degree in many, many places, there is that absence of the vision, that absence of the message and the ministry of truth, but there is also spiritual deceit. There's a message going out that denies eternal punishment. Every false religion denies eternal punishment, and every false religion promises universal salvation just about. And yet it's a salvation in which there's no Christ, and there's no cross, and there's no finished work, and therefore it is a lie. It's spiritual deceit. But you see, for that reason, across our world tonight, there is no vision in many, many lands. There is no message of truth, and there is no ministry of truth. We must go a little step farther here as I seek to get through this point about the absence of the vision. The absence is not only due to spiritual decline and spiritual deceit, but to spiritual departure altogether. Now, take those words, the term no vision, and we find that it is also used, that term, with regard to seasons of outright apostasy from the message and the ministry of truth. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they remind us of those times when on a wide scale there is no vision. There is no message of truth, and there's no ministry of truth. And what we're looking at across the world is the great apostasy developing and increasing and bringing about a situation where there is the presentation of that which is not a vision from the Lord. It's not God's word. It is the message that destroys, that damns, that brings people down into utter ruin. If you take Jeremiah's day, you will know that he's the man who also wrote the book of Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 9, here's what he says about those prophets who I've already mentioned. He says this, her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. Her prophets find no vision from the Lord. There were many prophets in Judah and Jerusalem, as we've noted already, in those days leading up to the captivity, when Jeremiah was a very lonely figure and was opposed by the hordes of false prophets who had led the nation down into apostasy from God, and they found no vision from the Lord. That simply means they had no word from God. They had no message. They had nothing to give guidance to the people. Rather, all was designed to mislead and cause them to go astray. Now, this moment, I want you to go to Micah chapter 3. Because Micah, also lived in those days when the captivity was on the way and all of the destruction was coming. And I want you to go to Micah chapter 3 and verse number 5. And we have there a most interesting verse, a very striking verse that I want you to note and see as we deal with this matter of the absence of the vision. It's because of spiritual decline, it's because of spiritual deceit, but it's because of spiritual departure altogether, and we find it here. This was happening in those days when Micah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah, and then Jeremiah came a little later, when all of this was going on. Micah 3 and verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They bite that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against them. Do you notice that? Those last words of that fifth verse of Micah 3. Against whom did these prophets prepare war? It was against God. Against the living God they prepared war. Militantly they went against the truth because these men are apostates. And look at verse 6. Therefore night shall be unto you. Here's God's condemnation on them. That you shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. What an awful condemnation there is here of those false prophets. Actually, going back just for a moment to verse 5, where it talks about these men biting with their teeth, that word bite is found 11 times in the Old Testament. And every time it's used, it refers to the poisonous, deadly bite of the serpent. And God takes that word here and he applies it to men who were preachers, men who were prophets, who were coming to God's people, his professing people at least, and they were bringing to them a message that was poisoning their souls and biting to the very heart of their being. And causing them to perish. Here is the poison of the old serpent. Remember, the word bite is always used of the serpent. Brethren and sisters, I can't go any longer in this thought about the absence of the vision, but I've gone sufficiently far, I believe, to let you see what Solomon is saying in Proverbs 29:18. Where he talks about the absence of the vision, where there is no vision. And we're seeing why that is the case. You see, God has given his word. We have the Bible in our hands, don't we? But do you realize tonight that there are multitudes across the face of the earth who neither have the message of truth or the ministry of truth? And the reason is that man has departed from God. If you take those steps, spiritual decline and spiritual deceit and then spiritual departure, you're looking at the history of the world. You're looking at the history of mankind. And we are having, therefore, brought before us, yes, in a negative way at this stage, just why there is a need for let the Bible speak. Because of the state of our world, because of the state of the nations, because of what we've seen here, it is being repeated before our very eyes and minds in our day and time. Very quickly, notice the result of the absence of the vision. And it's in those next three words, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's another word that we need to understand carefully as to its meaning. It signifies literally to make naked. If you've got a marginal Bible, you'll find it there in your margin. Where there's no vision, where there's no message of truth and ministry of truth, then where there's no faithful presentation of the revelation of God, people are stripped naked of all that offers hope and deliverance. Signifies that. It's a word that also signifies leaving people defenseless. That's how it's used in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19, where you read of Ahaz, it says this, 2 Chronicles 28, 19, "For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord." Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. But Ahaz was an ungodly wretch, a wicked man. And we're told by the Holy Spirit, he brought Judah, or God brought Judah low because of Ahaz. Because of Ahaz's influence, Ahaz's leadership, Ahaz's departure from God. Oh, read the story of Ahaz, and you will be horrified at that man. That man who saw the gods, the idols of the Assyrians, and those gods had failed them. But then he took those gods and he made them his own. And he took away the altar of God and put in the place of the altar of God the altar of the heathen. And my friend, again, what you see there, as we noticed earlier, the cross is removed. The sacrifice is gone. All that points to Calvary, Ahaz took it away. And he put in place a heathen image, heathen altar. And as a result of that, he brought Judah low. And he stripped Judah naked. And he left God's people exposed to all of the calamities that came upon them. Where there is no vision, souls are left not only naked in the sense of having no knowledge of the truth, but they are left defenseless. Think about the awfulness of the fear of the heathen, the terror of the ungodly. They have no gospel. They know nothing of the message of truth. They have spiritual leaders, pagan priests, apostate ministers, whoever, who have stripped them naked in that spiritual sense, have left them defenseless. And they have nothing in which to find any hope. And they live in fear and in superstition. And they're continually bowing to their idols and going through their paraphernalia of religion. But all is hopeless. And this is the consequence, the result of the absence of the vision. I could go longer with that, but I will just move on here because of time. What we want, therefore, to see is that the absence of the vision and the consequences of that absence can only be countered by the message and ministry of truth. See, very, very often when we deal with Proverbs 28:19, we don't read the whole verse. The rest of the verse says this, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Now, the reference to the law in the second part of that verse is clearly synonymous with what you have in the first part of the verse referring to the vision. You see, the word law, quite a number of times in Scripture itself, is employed as a word that signifies the entire Bible. That's how I want you to see it tonight. So think about it that way. Where there is no vision, where there is no message and ministry of truth, the people perish. And of course, the ultimate form of that perishing is to perish in hell forever. Let's get that straight tonight before I come back to what I'm saying here. The heathen do perish. There are those who would teach that because the heathen don't have the Bible, God will let them into heaven. My friend, that is not so. Where there is no truth, the people perish. But then you see, we come to those words, "He that keepeth the law." The law signifies the whole of the Bible. It says, "He that keepeth the law, happy is he." What's the contrast there? The contrast between perishing and being happy. Now, does this mean that we're looking here at a verse that teaches that God's objective is to make people happy. No, what we're looking at here is a lovely word. The word for happy means blessed. Or blessed means happy. And what's the significance of the word blessed in the Bible? The opposite of perishing. The opposite of all the misery that comes when there's an absence of truth and no proclamation of truth. What does the word blessed mean? Well, let's hear what David has to say about it. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is the man whose iniquity is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed, happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And we could keep on going, couldn't we, with all the usages of the word blessed or happy. It's the same word, as we find them throughout the Scripture. And what we're discovering is that the only way to counter the absence of the message and the ministry of truth is the proclamation of God's word, God's truth across the nations and across the face of the population of this earth. And it's at this point, you see, that we can bring Let the Bible Speak in, or any other faithful ministry. But that's the focus tonight, Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is equipped to counter the forces that have contributed to the absence and the message of truth, the message and the ministry of truth, and thereby lead to that awful situation where the people perish. Let the Bible Speak is a channel already greatly used of God over its 50-year history, still being used by God this day, and by the grace of God will continue to be used of God to do what? To counter the falsehood and the lies and the deceit and the apostasy that are engulfing their millions and bringing them down to the everlasting wrath of a holy God. That's what Let the Bible Speak exists to do. That's what Christ Church exists to do, in that sense of things, having the message of truth, being given the ministry of truth, and thereby countering all of the darkness and the wickedness of the world. You see, we're actually been shown here there's a battle, there's a conflict. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But where there is the vision, where there is God's word called the law in this text, those who receive it, those to whose hearts is applied, happy are they. But that means it must be proclaimed. Most of you will know Romans 10, 14, and 15. Those wonderful verses that underline the ordinance of preaching, the ministry of truth, that tell us very clearly that except God sends the preacher, they will never hear. But the wonderful thing is, God is sending preachers, and sending preaching means such as radio ministry and so forth. God is doing that. Isn't the wonderful thing that while the world uses the technology of our day to spread and to foment their evil agenda, God is overruling to send forth the gospel, whether it's by radio or TV or by the internet and so forth. God's at work. And let me tell you, folks, the gospel will continue to be proclaimed until the end of the age. Matthew 24:14. This gospel shall, I'm just paraphrasing here, this gospel shall be preached in all the world to all nations, and then the end shall come. You see, God is a covenant God. And God has a people in every nation. Oh, that we would understand that and learn that truth and pray over that truth. God keeps his covenant. And God has a people chosen from all eternity, from every nation on this earth. And this is why the message of truth is being ministered still. It's to gather that people. It is to see them called out, brought into a saving relationship with Christ, justified freely by grace. And all of that being their experience, stripped of all the lies and deceit and darkness of false religion or irreligion, and brought to know the living God and the living Christ, to live and reign with him forever. Oh, what a mighty God we have. And therefore, see it tonight, dear believer, why you give your money, why you pray for Let the Bible Speak. It's so that this will happen, that the word of the living God will be proclaimed right through until Jesus comes. And you know, God will sovereignly have it go to the nations in his own time. Read Acts 16. There's Paul, the mighty apostle. He thought he would go to Asia. He thought he would go here, there, and yonder. And the Holy Ghost said, no. Go to Europe. And he went to Europe. And then, of course, later on, Asia and Bithynia and so on were all reached. But wasn't at that time. We have a sovereign God who, by his sovereign Spirit, is directing the affairs of this world, but also, and more importantly, directing his church, directing missionaries, directing ministries like Let the Bible Speak, so that they go to the place where there's an absence of the vision, to people in rank heathenism who have never heard the Savior's name. And they take with them this wonderful message of truth, and they minister it onto the people. And they do so in the face of all the efforts to oppose it. You know, I didn't stay with 1 Samuel. I'm not going back to it now in terms of turning to it, but let me remind you what happens at the end of chapter 3. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why did Hannah pray for a man-child? In chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, because Hannah saw what was happening. She saw the decline. She was grieved with the sons of Eli. And she realized that the tide was going out and the darkness was coming down. And she asked God to give her a son. And she said, give me that son and I will give him back to you. And that's exactly what happened. You know what she was praying for? She was praying for a man to minister. And at the end of chapter 3, and a lot in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, what happens? Samuel was recognized to be a prophet of God. And we're told there in the closing verses of 1 Samuel 3, and these are wonderful words, the word of the Lord appeared again in Shiloh through Samuel. And God did not let one of Samuel's words fall to the ground. He was a mighty minister of Jesus Christ and the living God. And therefore, there was a countering of the message, the false message, the dark message, by the message of truth. And Samuel proclaimed it truly and faithfully, and God appeared again, and his word came with power, and wonderful things took place. Pray tonight for Let the Bible Speak, to be empowered as a channel, as a ministry. I know that when maybe you go down to Lurgan and you sit in as part of the congregation, and by the way, you should, because we need all the help we can get in that. When you go there, you might see the cameras, you'll see the cameras, you'll see the screens, and you'll maybe be taken up with the technology. And that's fine, because there is technology. But think about what is happening. That will all be edited. That TV program will be put together. And then it will be going out. And you know something? There's probably, in many ways, no darker place upon the face of this earth than our own nation. What has happened in our nation needs to be countered. And there's only one force, one message that will do that. And that is the message of truth, ministered in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray tonight that God will take his word and he will help you and me to understand more and more the meaning of that verse, where there is no vision, people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. May God bless his word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.
May I just thank the Lord's servant for bringing that word to us. Surely that was a message from the Lord to all of our hearts, a most challenging word. And yet, as we have heard what the word can do by the mighty power of God, it's an encouragement to our hearts to continue to let the Bible speak. Just before we sing our closing hymn, I can tell you that the offering tonight came to £3,110.50. And we say thank you in the Lord's name. We're going to sing our closing hymn. It's the hymn 187. Come, O thou prophet of the Lord, thou great interpreter divine, explain thine own transmitted word. To teach and to inspire is thine. And then after we sing this hymn, the Reverend Gregory McCammon, one of our committee members, will come and offer the closing prayer.
Thank you. gracious God and Father, we give thee thanks and praise through Christ, thy Son, our Saviour, for all that has taken place tonight in this house. We do dedicate unto thee for thy glory all that has taken place, and we pray that thy blessing may be upon it and upon us here who have worshipped thee. We give thee thanks and praise for the help that thou didst give to all who took part tonight. Especially we praise and thank thee for the word and for directing thy servant, Mr. Greer, and for helping him to proclaim thy truth, and for the encouragement of the message and for the timeliness of it. Lord, for the great sense of assurance that we have as to let the Bible speak, that we're doing the right thing and we're going the right way. We bless thee for the 50 years of grace and guidance and all needs abundantly met by thine omnipotent and generous hand. We give thee thanks and glory. We pray that we may continue to be faithful in the years to come, that this vision, this Bible, thy holy word that thou hast given to us, that we may, and all thy servants who will preach on the behalf of the radio ministry and the TV ministry, always preaching the word, always causing to shine forth the vision, continue to help them to do that. Fill them with thy Holy Spirit. May doors open. May ears listen. May hearts be attentive. And Lord, may they be saved, multitudes that hear. May they be saved from this perishing. And may they be clothed with thy salvation. Let the nations, Lord, be clothed with thy salvation. Let the nations turn unto thee as thou dost pour out thy mighty Holy Spirit upon them. And this humble ministry of our church, do thou greatly use it to that end. We ask that thou wilt bless all who help and work in the radio ministry, from the giving, the praying, to the full participation in the studio, and all those by Mr. Curran and by Mr. Patterson. Bless all those co-laborers together. Lord, we pray that we may have safety as we go home, and that this word may stay on our hearts, and we may continue to think upon it often. We thank thee also for the supper that has been kindly provided by the servants of thine in this church. Bless them for their labors and sacrifice. And may we have good fellowship. And may we bring glory to thee even as we eat and drink. May the grace of Jesus Christ never leave us. For his name's sake we pray.
Well, I hope you will be able to stay for some supper. Just make your way in this direction through to the Carson complex, and the food is all there, so I hope you'll stay and enjoy it.